escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Out of Houston Methodist Training Center for yet another day of Houston Texans training camp in 2025.
They're going to make me stand up, aren't they?
Oh, I was about to say, I'm not making you do anything. That's the voice of John Lopez. I'm Reginald Latitula. Welcome back, Figgy Fig, off the physically unable to perform list.
Yeah, man. I ain't letting no Astros, trainers, and nothing like that check me out, so I'm good.
Well, we were given the injury report.
We didn't have the full injury report.
It was
report,
neck
though.
Stiffness. So, in other words, you were in a wheelchair.
No, I got neck stiffness now.
How are you? Give the people a little rundown before we get into practice here. We got a lot of passing thoughts.
Yeah, so long story less long, I had to work in a photo booth event in Dallas. And this freaking place didn't have an elevator for me to use. So I had to carry the stuff up the stairs.
Oh, no, baby.
Yeah. It was like a nice little flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And I guess I might have pulled something. It wasn't nothing too bad. I'm taking some ibuprofen. I'm feeling better now, but still a little soreness if I move a certain way. But
yeah.
Sunday, I could barely walk.
Yikes.
It was bad. I was driving back from Dallas. I had to I got 2 hours in, had to let my wife take over.
And that's, I'm glad you had your wife there to help you out, though.
Yeah.
I could have been real bad. Just
I couldn't even finish the drive from Dallas.
Man.
Yeah. But I'm feeling better now.
Glad you're feeling better. We'll talk more about that. Obviously, the Astros had a loss this weekend. They had a lot of losses this weekend. Another loss.
When did they have a win?
Yesterday. A lot of stuff to talk about. But, of course, we are watching practice as we speak. So, how about we get some passing thoughts?
You were probably wondering, when's Jalen Petrie going to come back? Weren't you?
Welcome back, baby.
Welcome back, Jalen Petrie, looking the part. Doesn't seem to be missing a dang rep and looking quite good. So that's kind of the newsy aspect of what's going on out here with my first passing thought. But there are more, and there are some really interesting things. As you know, Reggie, I've been focusing much more on the defense. A lot of times they've been on the opposite field. This time they were on the first field. And a couple things with the defense. Foremost, Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock were getting some extra work in early before the rest of the team even got out on the field. And you're keeping notes on exactly what's happening in front of us, so maybe you can add some here at the end.
Trying, yeah.
But they were catching tennis balls from Frank Ross. He was tossing them in the air, and they were catching tennis balls, et cetera. And I've kind of saw this sort of narrative circulating around the media tent and over here where I am. And on social media about
you got your own separate tent? You're not in the media tent? VIP media tent. I didn't even realize we had one of those.
Get back to me when you've been doing this for 35 years.
That's going
to
be a while.
But Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, they're going to be integral in the special teams. Well, maybe, but what really happened there, it's so funny how you just see something and you connect the dots and like, oh, well, they're going to be big in special teams. Well, maybe they will, but what I saw what happened. Frank Ross happened to be out here. They happened to get out here earlier and wanted to work on their tracking, tracking a ball. So he started throwing them tennis balls. It's like all of a sudden people are like, hey, that's going to be a big story. Maybe they'll be on special teams. Maybe there was more to it. But I saw what happened. They were just really working on their ball skills extra.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is if you go back, remember I was very focused on Jalen Noel as return man and, the idea that he dropped the ball. And then I think later, after that particular practice, I saw Chancellor Johnson caught Frank Ross and Noel working on kind of hand-eye coordination. So that's not the first time.
That was more connected to special teams. Yeah.
And I'm like, is Frank Ross the hand-eye coordination guy? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like, hey, when he's the guy that was available and anybody steps up in order to help whoever needs to get some additional work in. But, yeah, I think all of that is a possibility and plausibility.
I think Frank Ross is the guy that had the tennis balls. You know how you have that guy, that kid in the neighborhood that really isn't that good in basketball, but he's got a good ball? So you always invite him to play? That's kind of what was going on there. Funny you mentioned Jalen Knoll. I feel as if I deserved a pet cat point yesterday. Jalen Knoll had a really good day. He had a really good day.
No, he absolutely
he was
did.
Getting a lot.
I didn't put that on there?
You did not.
My bad.
I'm not
going to
hold
you know,
it personal.
I was going to.
If you correct the issue.
What had happened was, you know, like I was thinking about it, but then other things was happening.
Yeah.
And then I had just forgot.
Yeah. No,
for sure. Jalen Knoll absolutely got a lot of catches out here in 11-on-11.
Really
on
11, good one down the sideline.
100%. And, I mean, obviously, and that was before we were even getting into red zone. Like, this was just when they were going. And, yeah, so Jalen Knoll absolutely had
Thank
a good
you
day.
For correcting your deficiency.
I don't like the way you said that.
So I got over to this tent, you know, the John Lopez tent, and I ran into Cal and Hannah. I ended up talking to Cal for 20 minutes, dude. And it was
wow.
funny.
Wow. Me and the owner are just cool like that.
But here's the thing. Like, we were standing right here in front of this tent within earshot of, you know, the grandstands, which are full. I'm guessing this is more season ticket holder type thing. It's not. Or is it an open-open?
It's an open-open.
I couldn't remember. And a lot of people were, like, leaning over the fence. And you know, they were like, ooh, what are they talking about? You know, big football secrets. Dude, at least 15 of the 20 minutes, we were talking barbecue.
I bet you
were. We were talking barbecue.
I bet you were. I like that Aaron, our engineer, was guessing fishing. There's two good guesses there.
It was so funny. People were like, oh, wow, man, they must be really getting into some, you know, the minutiae, the details of who's going to start this, who's going to do that. We were talking about Kalamazoo griddles and Gosney pizza ovens and the proper way to cook a tomahawk steak and all this. This was one of the funniest training camp moments I have ever had, because it was a full-blown, I'm not exaggerating, 20-minute conversation. And people are like, oh, what's going on there? Man, we were talking barbecue the whole time.
Glad you're making good use of your time here.
It was hilarious. But there is a passing thought connected to
sure.
that. Because obviously this was just a chat. It's off the record. I'm not going to say exactly. I just told you what we were talking about.
And there's a decent amount of that happening just in general in conversations.
Correct.
Yes, obviously you're having conversations with various media folks and other people out here
yeah.
about football. But also you're just, you know, facilitating relationships further in general.
But this is my passing thought. You could just... You know, you could just feel the I'll put it this way. From the very top down, this organization is just in a good place.
Agreed.
You know, they're just in a really good place. And that would be my takeaway for our listeners and people who were hanging over the railing trying to hear what we were saying. It's just they're in a good place. They're comfortable. We heard from Nick Caserio. We'll hear from him again. He talked about this specifically. You know, about the culture and the types of people in the building. And so that's kind of the football takeaway that was related to that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar kind of vibe when I had an opportunity to chat with Mike Tolman out here.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out here and, you know, just have an opportunity to say what's up to Mike. In fact, he's actually squatting down right in front of us working the phones. What about? I don't know. It could be barbecue as well.
But, hello, Sugarland.
I don't like what you're doing right there. But no, again, it's all top to bottom, right? Whether we're talking about the very top of this with executives, ownership, you know, sales, all this, it feels like as a Texans organization, they are in a place of harmony that feels really good. And all of that, I imagine, is good for the football team. We've seen football teams that are in a place where there's dysfunction at some other level that then they have to find a way to deal with, whether it's answering questions or whatever. These football players,
you can feel it.
They can just focus on football, and they have the additional good vibes of they know that everybody else is also playing their parts to help support them in the way that's necessary.
You can just feel it.
Yeah.
It's an organization that's in a good place. All right, back to the field we go. I mentioned I was going to focus mostly on the defense today. You've mentioned him here and there, and a lot of people have. But I got a really good look at Jalen Reed today.
Reed or Smith?
Jalen Reed.
Okay, cool.
Jalen Reed.
I have not gotten enough of an eye on Jalen Reed, the safety.
Yes, the safety.
In this particular training camp. I've been doing a little bit of looking at J-Rock, as they call him, Jalen Smith. But, Jalen Reed has been mentioned a number of times.
And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to take anybody's job. But this guy, he's got a little bit of that Kamari, and he's been spending a lot of time with Kamari Lassiter. Kalen Bullock. He's got a little bit of that go-get-it mentality, which they all do. We talked about it yesterday.
And they facilitate that coaching-wise, right? It's not just, hey, sit back. It's go and attack the football. But these are the things. Remember one of my kind of non-predominant, I don't remember how I phrased it, questions coming into camp? Obviously, the predominant ones are offensive line, things of that nature, which, by the way, we're going to talk to Lakin Tomlinson coming off the practice field today. But one of them was, are Jalen Smith and Jalen Reed, are they more of projects or are they more of players in year one? Because that's going to matter depth-wise, right? We know that the secondary is really good. In fact, Hannah stopped by, I think it was with Chance and Jonathan, as they were recording some of their post-practice
thoughts
yesterday. She stopped in and she was like, you know, I don't like making predictions, but this defense, I think we're the best.
Yeah, and I wouldn't disagree necessarily.
Right, and so you have that, especially when you come to the starters. If there was anything that was going to stop this defense, it feels like it's going to be maybe being able to attack the linebackers and coverage, but then also cornerback and safety depth. So if those guys can play factors in year one, that's going to be good for adding to that depth, and you know, that's going to be that'll be huge in covering what is the few of, if we could call them, holes. I don't even know if I feel comfortable saying that this defense might even have.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and make any predictions. It's far too early for that. What I am going to say to Texans fans, our listeners, watch Jalen Reed. It's going to be very interesting to see how he plays out. Another passing thought. That is literally happening right in front of us. They were doing it earlier, and I noticed this. And now they're going full kickoff. No Damian Pierce, obviously.
Again, yeah.
No Damian Pierce. So, who's returning kickoffs in this environment? How about Braxton Berrios?
Knew he was going to be in that.
And Miles Bryant. Returning kicks.
Yeah, he got a little bit of a look.
Oh.
Actually, Woody Marks is who I think you're looking at, because remember, we got 227.
Yeah.
But
oh, my bad. Yeah, yes.
But
yes,
Brian did get a little bit of looks yesterday, because I remember that, in the white jersey. But Jordan is back there as well, as is Woody Marks.
Berrios was out early, though.
But Berrios is, I mean, that's his specialty.
Yeah.
We know that he is going to be a factor if he is on this roster. Punt return is going to be a high percentage of his responsibilities.
And this is kick return.
And he is smooth with it. I mean, I've already praised him plenty, but he is incredibly smooth returning kicks. But can I drop something in here?
Absolutely.
From I think it was labeled on the board of special teams, but I saw some of these guys getting some work. Some other guys were getting work, kind of catching the football. It was kind of this, like, hook drill where they present to the football, catch it, turn up field.
Yeah.
That was kind of the drill that they were working on. I will start with – I will kind of get at a little bit of a negative. I know that I can be a little bit of a Debbie Downer. It'd be like that sometimes. Nick Chubb. I don't believe anybody was looking at Nick Chubb for that to be his responsibilities.
Yeah.
But one of those reps doesn't catch the football, falls off of the plant. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is another interesting data point when we look at these guys. And I think for me, it alludes back to the idea that, especially without Joe Mixon and without Damian Pierce, not saying that he specifically answers this, I don't know that you have a guy that gives you a full collection of what you're looking for in a singular running back. Even with Chubb, I think the power and the knowledge of being able to run the football is there, but he's not going to be able to catch the football in the same way, I don't think.
Now, that is true.
Woody Marks can catch the football. I think he can tote the rock a little bit. Can he pass protect, right? Like, if we go down this running back room, you got a lot of options, which is a good problem to have, but I don't know that any one of them that you have available to you right now answers all the questions of, will he be able to carry a majority of the
Now, to be fair, Nick Chubb has been pretty good out of the backfield in the past.
Yes.
So maybe that changes.
Could have been a bad rep. I want to acknowledge
it. Could have been a bad rep. And I don't think you're being, you know, Debbie Downer or whatever, because that happened. You know, that absolutely happened. What I will say is this. If that is something that, you know, he's more of the power running back and the one through, you know, first through second, third down back, and then they go third and long and they bring in Woody Marks or Dario Gumbawale, that's the last thing I want to see. I hated that last year. Oh, Dario's in the game? Pass. You know, it's like the white shooter. Shooter! You know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, that's...
In basketball, correct?
Yes. That's something I do not want to...
Clarity is good, all right? Clarity is good.
That's something I do not want to see. By the way, ones versus ones, full bore, 11 on 11, 25-yard line. Right now, we will keep you updated. This is going to be really good. One more thing before they get started. I tend to forget, and I notice there's a reason I'm saying this, how many of these guys out here are living check to check in NFL terms? In other words,
yes,
they just want to latch on somewhere. You know, I was watching a guy today, Russ Yeast.
Yes.
Actually went to K-State. I think he started out in Louisville.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if that guy's going to make the squad, but he's really good. He's really big. And he's absolutely, showing some stuff here. So it comes down to some players that we may not ever see in a Texans uniform, but there are some dudes out here busting their asses and looking pretty good that on a good squad like this just won't make it.
Yeah, no, that is true. And that's also in some ways indicative of, as you mentioned, the nature and the mechanics of the NFL, but also the way that this team has put together their training camp. Remember, we were talking about it on day one. It was a productive day. It didn't look sloppy. These guys are out here to work from top to bottom. And you were talking a little bit more of the bottom of the 90-man roster. But the middle, the top, everybody's out here getting work. Like, obviously, we're not doing the days of old where guys are doing six-hour work days out here in the sun. But with what time they have, they're working efficiently at it. And I appreciate that, and that has to be something that works to the advantage of the Texans.
Yeah. And offense, defense going right now. You heard that roar right there. Completion, but it looked like there was pretty good pressure. And I don't know if he would have been able in real time to have gotten that ball out. But nice play on up the seam and out. It was an up and out, actually. Kind of a post route right there.
And a good connection, too.
Yeah. And that was – who caught that? Christian Kirk.
Yeah, it was Kirk.
Yeah, Christian Kirk. Last one from me. I think Camp Doldrums, which we all know is a very real thing, is hitting some people in the media.
I could see it.
I was over here – kind of watching all the fields, trying to keep up with everything. I saw like five dudes as practice was going on. Brevin Jordan in the loop. Karma right there, baby. with a catch up the side. I was looking over there at the tent. There were like four dudes just like a sewing circle, just talking to each other. All their backs were to every field. They were just having a little discussion, just a little, and practice was going on. I think people are just kind of like, let's just chat.
Well, there's a little bit of Camp Doldrums, but I think it's worth noting, just in any circumstance, a combination of heads helps everything out. And,
solving all the world's issues?
Yeah, absolutely. No, but in all seriousness, right, especially like independent drills where how much can we harp on the little details that we're seeing? Like early on, sometimes that is very good to feast off of. But once we start getting to putting some bigger ideas together, I think it's worthwhile to have, hey, what are you kind of working on? What are you looking on? And having discussions to kind of work some of these things out. You mentioned Brevin Jordan had a little bit of an out route shallow. We just saw a big pass down the left side of the field. And
offense having a pretty good start.
They are, but all things today as well seem like they're working on outside. It seems like that's been a very concerted effort. As we talked to Matt Burke, but I think this travels a little bit further with all the coaching staff. They have particular things that they're working on a given day. Incredible catch out.
No, that was a perfect ball.
That
was C.J. Stroud accuracy to defined. I mean, he had a tiny, tiny window there and got the ball there. It was Davis Mills.
He's been throwing the ball very, very well
throughout camp.
This camp. It's honestly a shame for him in particular that he has no shot at a starting job. Like we don't even want to start any of that conversation. Don't look at me like that. We're not starting that conversation here. Yes, but then we have the conversation, would somebody be willing to trade? I understand. It seems like the idea that they're working out offensively, at least if I'm right in surmising it, they're working the sidelines early today. I don't know if that continues to be the case, but outside is something that they're working on, which honestly I'm very excited to see from this team because I think that'll be very useful.
One more interesting thing before we finish our passing thoughts here. One thing I've noticed through this day six.
This is day six of training camp. Yes, sir.
Like, you are not down on Nick Chubb per se, but you and I are so different.
Correct.
In what we're seeing from Nick Chubb.
Fair enough.
And it's fascinating to me because I get what you're saying, and you're not wrong on some of these things, just as you mentioned earlier. And maybe I'm just biased because I have high hopes for him, but I've seen some pretty good stuff from Nick Chubb when he's running the ball. Now, you just talked about some of the things. It's going to be interesting to see just how it plays out in the preseason.
No, for sure. And, I mean, that is fair. I think we started in that place even with the signing.
Yeah.
I am just not sold that, especially with the framing that of, well, you know, if he gets back to, mm-hmm. I think that that's a foregone conclusion. He is 29 years old, and age 29 season, and when it comes to running backs, we already know, even if all things are, you know, equal,
yeah.
injury-wise, or not being injured, that you can't expect that same type of dominance on top of the fact that he had the type of injury that robs dudes of career.
Yeah.
And then another injury that we're kind of wiping away on the back end of last season as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasonable to expect that he's not going to be that same guy. And I'm seeing a difference in explosion. Now, again, yeah. you can be a good running back without a crazy level of explosion. Mm-hmm. We could be a great running back without that level of explosion, a la Le'Veon Bell.
Perfect right?
A guy who very much just waited for
power straight ahead, waits for blocks.
I think one of the things
pauses.
Yes, and he also kind of said, and I don't know if he was just tongue in cheek and saying that he never ran in his career, ran 100% in his career.
Yeah.
Right. So there's different ways to cook chicken, is how my middle school math teacher used to say, and I think that factors in. However, I'm not going to be just outwardly gloating about Nick Chubb in some ways that I think there might be.
The truth could be between where you and I are. I just think it's fascinating what we're seeing out here.
Yeah, so we continue to watch a little bit of team out here at training camp on day 6. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Man, we are already rolling through training camp. The football is live and it's going. And early on, offense showing some things, which is very, very excited, very happy to see out here. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's actually talk a little bit more about that offense, because if there's one thing that Nick Caley and this offensive staff needs to fix, is it this. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. We'll talk about it next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, live from Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston Texans Training Camp. We're actively in a special teams time where guys are working on stuff. Right now, it seems like the punt return.
The punt going on.
But it's not returning straight up. It is they're working on making sure that they keep things clean, protecting that goal line if a punt is going to get down, you know, making sure that they are not. Or actually making sure that the punt gunners can actually get, you know, stop the ball before it goes into the end zone and pin guys within the 5. But then also from your punt returners, hoping that they can do a little work to make sure that other teams aren't able to do that.
Right,
obviously, that's
right.
The give and take of it all. But, yeah, we're trying to keep you abreast of anything that's happening out here on the fields. We'll do our damnedest. Somebody was saying that Reggie's in the practice, getting there, seeing my reactions to things that are happening live. I'm trying. Got binoculars out here and everything so that we can give you the best reactions to all the things that are happening with your Texans. But let's talk more about this Texans. The offense already looked good in the first team kind of activities. And, oh, we got flags on the field.
Yeah, the gunner caught the ball for the punt for Berrios. He moved Berrios out of the way and downed the ball by catching it. That's not against – that's against the rules.
All right, J-Rock. That's the rookie J-Rock, Jalen Smith. So, yeah. Hey, have a little fun is cool, but let's get this work in, young fella. But let's talk – like I mentioned, let's talk about – this offense, and I feel like this is an interesting setup that you have from here, Lopez. If Nick Caley, Cole Popovich, Gerard Johnson, all the people that are involved, the heavy hitters on this offense, can fix one thing to make it better for the Texans, how much better will they be? And I'm interested in what the one thing is for you.
Well, you one of your idols is Warren Sharp, right?
Idol is not the word that I would use there, but I do appreciate Warren Sharp's work.
He had what to me, and maybe you've seen it, and we talked about this, red zone efficiency, et cetera, here and there. But he had a stat that just blew me away. And I'm thinking, if the Texans can just fix this with this defense, with, you know, the amount of precedent and struggles that they've had in the red zone last year. Well, let me lay it out this way. Warren Sharp mentioned that 73% of all touchdowns last year, that's a big number.
It's a big number. I can't agree.
Came inside the red zone. So 73% of the touchdowns scored last year came inside the red zone. Not big plays, et cetera, not turnovers, pick sixes, et cetera. And the best QBs in the red zone last year were Baker Mayfield, ranked number one, Lamar Jackson, and Bo Nix, number three. C.J. Stroud, and this is what blew me away, ranked 29th. 29th in red zone touchdowns. If they can just fix that. He ranked right behind Joe Flacco and right ahead of Daniel Jones on this list.
That's not the company you would like to keep.
That is not. And so as much as we're all talking, and now clearly offensive line comes into play.
Huge.
Running game comes into play. Offensive system comes into play. Play calling comes into play. All of it. So if you're looking at this, if they can just fix, if he just ranks 15th in red zone touchdowns, how good is this team going to be? Considering the defense and everything.
A lot better. I need to get the stat because as you were mentioning this, I'm like, okay, I know that the red zone conversion rate, I can get you the actual number on that. But anecdotally, just talking about, we were talking about, I was rewatching the Titans game, week 13, right? Mm-hmm. Recently. The reason why the Titans were able to go win that game, the Texans got down the field a decent amount. They just traded 7-for-3 time and time and time again. And your defense, especially if they're going to be a turnover defense, which, again, they're already doing the work. They're laying the foundation for that here, knowing that they did it last year. We know that they're capable of it. You're going to have opportunities to have short fields, and it's just incumbent on your offense to get the, you know, get the yards that's necessary and punch the football in there. You can end games quicker. You can put up very good game slates, right? And put the kind of game flow and game state in a place where you place pressure on your opponents, force them into bad places, which accentuates the ability of your defense or the efficacy of your defense. Like, this is going to be incredibly necessary. And it starts with, I mean, not just starts, it hinges on all those things you talked about. Offensive line, clearly, because there was a number of times where I can think of where you get sacked out of the red zone.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Boy, how many times did we see that?
Because it's easier to defend in the red zone. There's less field to cover. And now I imagine for secondaries and maybe even for defensive coordinators, for secondaries, one, we don't have to cover as much.
Yeah.
But for front sevens, we can send extra.
Yep.
We can pin our ears back because we know what you're doing in these circumstances. Plus, you end up in third and long a lot of times anyways. And so, yeah, that ends up being a big, big issue. And now it feels like you have more opportunities to jump ball. That was why it was really good seeing yesterday with them working red zone. And it looks like they're working out of their red zone, under the shadow of their end zone. But working red zone, seeing a number of guys get in the end zone, seeing Jaden Higgins go up for a jump ball, even though he didn't come down with the football going up against Zeez and Jalen Petrie. Those types of things are going to be very, very instrumental in making sure that you have an opportunity to get touchdowns, turn drives into sevens, rather threes or even turnovers.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, it blew me away. I mean, quarterbacks that ranked ahead of him in red zone touchdowns, Mac Jones.
McCorkle Jones didn't even play that many games. He came in with when Trevor Lawrence was hurt.
Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Cooper Rush. They all ranked higher than C.J. Stroud in red zone touchdown efficiency. So clearly, as we've been talking about, it's more than just C.J. Stroud. It's everything. But I'm wondering also, when you start talking about this offense and the use of tight ends, you know, this is something we've been talking about a lot. They will be out there. In fact, they're out there right now with two tight ends on the same side of the line of scrimmage. You have this type of set, two tight ends and a big receiver in Nico and another big receiver in Higgins. All of a sudden, maybe personnel, and maybe this was some of the marching orders that Nick Caserio gave himself in terms of, we got to be better in the red zone using more tight ends, two or three big receivers. I mean, just get to 15. I'm not greedy, and this team could go places.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. The being very open to 12 personnel and hopefully being more effective with it will help. One of the things that we've kind of been excited about, in fact, we mentioned it in the break here, we saw Luke Lachey end up as the outside guy on the right side. I think also being variable with your personnel and giving defenses different looks that they don't expect when you step out there onto the line is going to be big. And because, I mean, sometimes when it comes to football, it's simply forcing the defense into situations that they don't like, forcing them into matchups that they don't like. And so I think that that should be helpful as well. Hey, you come out and we go, all right, well, that's 12. We know that there's going to be two tight ends. We know that there's going to be wide receivers. And then you end up looking at a tight end on the outside and a wide receiver in a place that you're not expecting. And now you have to consider how you're going to defend this. And you might end up in a place where you leave open what Nick Caley and this offense is looking for. But on top of that, I do want to ask you, how do you feel about your red zone targets? Like, who do you, in your mind, do you think of, we're going to this guy in the moments where we need a catch? Because I think Nico Collins clearly stands out with that.
For sure.
We saw him go up and get the ball. We know that he can hand fight and, you know, come down with 50-50 balls. Who are those other guys that you feel confident at, especially when you talk about throwing? We're talking about C.J. Stroud and his completion percentage in the red zone and ability to convert. Who are those guys that you think that he will be able to trust to get the football to in those moments? Because those are the spaces in football that it really condenses your targets that you can really, really trust.
I think number 81 in your program is going to be integral. That's Jaden Higgins. Another big guy, could put him opposite. Obviously, as I mentioned, the two tight ends. Cade Stover, getting love from the very, very, you know, start, before camp even started. This is going to be important for Cade Stover down in the red zone. And by the way, right on cue, I was about to read a text from the 832. Another thing that killed him in the red zone? Penalties. And they just had a penalty, a pre-snap penalty here coming out of the red zone. So, yeah, penalties as well.
And real unfortunate for a guy who needs to make sure that he's on it. That's Blake Fisher there, right, who's competing at right tackle.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was at least that's the one that I saw.
Yeah, no, it was.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. But, yeah, if his name came up kind of interestingly enough when Nick Caserio sat down with Payne and Pendergast this morning. We'll talk about that as well. But, yeah, no, that will be very huge for this team. I think you can change a lot of the way that the game is played. If you take the opportunities, which were numerous last year, and actually convert on them, you apply a different level of pressure. And that would mean there's a different level of execution from this team, and that's what we're all looking forward to this season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 out at Training Camp 2025. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day here as we're, you know, moving on the program. What's one thing that you would change about where you work? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. That's right, Big Voice, man. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Houston, Texas training camp practice number 6 still going on here. And, man, it's been a fun day thus far because the offense is looking a little bit better. Even out of the shadow of their end zone, that's the drill that they're working on right now in team, is this offense, especially the ones, but even the twos and threes.
Good day. That's back to back.
Have been all right getting out of there. I haven't seen very many sacks, maybe one. And I've seen some completions getting out of there. And I've seen them been able to get some push and run the football a little bit to at least generate a little bit of space, as you would if you were on the one-yard line, trying to give yourself an opportunity to make have longer developing plays. But, of course, as soon as I say that, J-Rock is able to bat down a ball that's directed towards Justin Watson on a quick out.
Look, it's another good day for the offense all together. Nobody's going to worry about this defense. I was kidding around with you during the break. Like, well, what's going on with the defense? Nothing. I think they're finally starting to – and it's been a slow process. We've talked about that, making sure that they go step by step. And C.J. Stroud has a little better control of what's being done at the line of scrimmage and recognition. We're seeing some of that.
Yeah, so shout-out to everybody involved. We'll talk more about that. In fact, we'll talk to Lakin Tomlinson as he comes fresh off the field, which we're nearing that time, not right this moment, but obviously as within the next, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes at the very, very, very latest. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, let's get to our question of the day as we always do at this time. 713-572-4610 is the number to text to get involved. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both from the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. What's one thing you would change about where you were? Because Framber Valdez, who pitched two-run baseball.
Did he get tagged with the second run? I know it was one.
I think it was one-run baseball, actually.
Yeah, I think it was one for sure.
I should be looking at it as I say that, shouldn't
nah,
I?
No, I think he got tagged for one. And then I think it was Brian King.
Yes.
Gave up the second run.
That's right.
But either way, Framber had a complaint, man. He had a complaint about, take this job and shove it, that kind of thing.
Johnny Paycheck.
Little Johnny Paycheck action. That's the horn for the end of practice. We will be joined by Lakin Tomlinson here in the next 10-15 minutes. That's a programming note. But for now, what's one thing you would change about where you work? Because after the game, Fromber did not mince words. He said, quote, on the go-ahead run, or the tying run, I mean,
yes.
He said, I saw the right fielder playing center field. And, you know, we have a center fielder for that. I feel like the right fielder should have been playing right field. I was uncomfortable with that. He kind of was upset about the defensive line.
Ain't no kind of. Yeah. Very much so. It was very much a outfield that was shaded to the left.
Yeah.
He had Taylor Trammell. Trammell. I did that wrong. But
yeah.
he was playing in right field ostensibly, but he was obviously shaded to the left. Your center fielder also shaded to the left as the entirety of the outfield was. I understand where he's coming from because that's a lefty at the plate. Nathaniel Lowe. Nathaniel Lowe. And you would imagine a left fielder, mm-hmm. or a left-hander rather, at the plate has that first base line as a possibility.
Yeah.
But if you pull up his his spray chart, he doesn't pull down the line all that frequently. His hits have been more towards the middle of the field. So I felt Fromber in that space. It's a deeply frustrating thing. But I understand where, your coaches are in kind of shading your outfield in the way that they did. So I don't know.
But it was frustrating.
Deeply frustrating for Fromber. Did you feel like there was a place-to-place blame with that?
I think Fromber's best case was, I'm a ground ball pitcher. I'm striking out dudes. I'm keeping the ball down. Just play straight up, and I could feel him on that one. So, complain. What's one thing you could complain about your job? He offered a complaint there. I only have one complaint. I really like our I think our program director is outstanding. So nothing per se with what we do here, but about just work in general. I got a complaint.
Okay.
I got a complaint.
All right, I'm not the complaint department, but I'll see if I can pass it on.
Once you hit 60 years old,
okay.
You should be able to work one day from home.
What are you doing, man?
I see the gambit.
Here's the thing. Everybody at our office works one day at the office, pretty much, if we're pulling back the curtain.
Oh,
here.
You mean like the non-on-air, non-programming folks. Yeah, them folks are not often
maybe
seen
two. Maybe two.
Your job is a little different than theirs, though.
Nevertheless, we have the technology, man. We have the. Once you hit 60, you should be able to drive down to Aransas Pass.
And, why there in particular?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
And do the show via Zoom live. I don't think it would drop that much. Just like on a Friday or a Monday, just do the show from there. So I don't know. Maybe when the show's over, you can go right to your boat.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I bet.
That's my complaint. What's your complaint?
I don't have complaints.
Yes, you do.
I am perfectly happy with the
circumstances.
Yes, you do.
See, I knew you were going to do this.
Yeah, I'm with Kick Rocks. Nice try, officer. Some of us listen at work. We're at work currently. Figgy, would you like to play in this dangerous game?
Look at you just crawfishing out of the question of the day.
Yeah. That's right. This is my first time at training camp. You're not
going to
get me booted.
I actually have one. I have a good one.
Okay. Yeah.
I think my complaint would be, I wish it was a way where the producers can be out there on remote, just like
that's
y'all.
A good one.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Good answer.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm part of the show, but whenever y'all not in studio, I don't really feel part of the show. And I do think we have the technology where I can run a show from a remote location without all the other stuff. So I wish I could be on remote with y'all. That's my only complaint.
See, Figgy is not crawfishing and cowering and kissing butt.
Who said I was kissing butt?
I have no complaint.
I don't.
I have no complaint.
I'm living good right now. I don't
Get
know what you're talking
here.
About.
Reggie said, Odyssey is perfect.
It's perfect. I have no complaint. 713-572-4610. Don't be like Reggie. Don't be like Reggie. Tell us what your complaint is.
Don't be
is.
Happy with your work.
Yeah,
don't, sorry, very good.
Don't be BSing your way through this question of the day. Something you could complain about. I wish my boss wouldn't blank the receptionist. Wow. Wow.
I'd rather her answer the phone. I feel like those are mutually exclusive. You know what I mean? Like, just, I feel like the idea is you would much prefer her to answer. You would just like her to answer the phone a little more consistently. I think that is actionable. Hey, you can work on that from the 346. Job is based out of Utah. That is all. That's a good complaint. I think Vernon Maxwell, that's all. We need to reach out to Vernon Maxwell and see if he can intercede on your behalf and see if he can figure that out. From the 281, talking about Fromber's situation at work for him, he says they hate the shift. Play the positions as they're supposed to be. All right, I hear where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
but can you fault a team for looking at you know, tendencies, as we understand, are always there with sports, and going, I am going to utilize these tendencies to try and give myself the best chance to succeed. The shift would not be continued to use to be used if it was not effective and efficient. I mean, we talk about it even with the banning of the infield shift. How many times have you seen a ball that's a comebacker that goes right over the second base bag, and that second baseman or the shortstop, depending on how they've shifted, is right there and capable of making the play because they have moved and they understand what's coming? I feel like I get where you're coming from, but I can't blame a team for trying to do tactics in a way that helps them win.
We got to ask Lakin Tomlinson, is one thing that you hate about work having to do push-ups after practice? Because the offensive line just did push-ups. I thought they were pretty decent.
Yeah, I was like,
thought they were pretty decent.
All right, if you had to guess, do you think that's conditioning or do you think that's a...
Oh, that was not conditioning.
Y'all did something. Lost some today.
That was not conditioning. The push-ups is right there in front of the stands, too. Right in front of everybody, man. They had the entire offensive line did push-ups.
Well, you know, the thing that I would say if I was going to be forced to give an answer is not particular to our job, but just jobs in general. And I said this to my mom on the phone with her earlier this week. When are we getting a 4-day work week?
That's what I asked for.
No, you asked to be able to work from home on that fifth day. I'm not trying to work at all.
Lopez said people over 60. No, over 60, y'all should be retired.
Hey, what are you saying?
He's trying to put you out the pastor, old man.
You're talking about people only over 60 can work from home one day.
I think y'all HR complaint.
No, I'm just saying, y'all might as well work at home for the rest of y'all lives at this point.
Hey, yo.
Wow.
Whoa.
For the rest of your short-ass life.
That's how Taylor Trammell felt yesterday. Like, hey, man, I was trying.
I know Lopez could have said everybody could have worked from home.
I know, right?
It's even a show or something. Made it only for him.
Not looking out for nobody.
Somebody
else
said
on
Lopez
that one.
Says like he's trying to beat Tunsil.
He is a vet.
Hey, you know what? If it helps, everybody get one day. Everybody get one day working from home.
Now that we force you to get
And then you can come down and hang with me. We'll go out on the boat right after.
All right.
We should do a show from there one day.
We should. Absolutely, we
All
should.
Right. Well, I'll work on that for the time being. Appreciate you getting involved on the question of the day. Practice is officially done, so we are on the lookout for Lakin Tomlinson to join us. And so let's take a quick break right quick. Coming up next, I believe we'll be joined by Lakin Tomlinson. I think we might also get some around the NFL. Keep it locked here on Sports Radio 610 to figure it out, which we'll do that next.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.